Nobody trusts anybody now. We're all very tired.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Hate to Interrupt podcast, the number one dude bro podcast in the entire world. It's me, the Italian Stallion. Who else is here?
I'm Nick from Stop Culture.
I'm VHS Nick. That was my favorite intro. I like being a dude bro. It's better than Soy Boy or whatever it was last time.
Yeah, do you guys, is Rocky a dude bro movie? Should we look at that other way?
No, it's not. I just said dude bro because it's like boxing and it's like Macho Man Randy Savage type shit. So I just thought it was appropriate.
I think the first Rocky is definitely not a dude bro movie. I think they definitely like, I don't know. They get definitely cheapened by, it gets cheapened by the sequels for sure.
I disagree. I think the franchise, okay, I guess we're just going to get straight, jump right into
it. So hold on, let's give it a little intro here. So a couple weeks ago, during one of the podcast episodes, Timmy made the opinion known that he thinks Creed is a better movie than Rocky.
100%.
I wholeheartedly disagree with. So I guess we're all just going to kind of tackle that in its own little episode here.
And apparently I've said this before, that point too. I didn't realize I said this before. I made this opinion clear it before, but that's why we're doing this, because I figured why not. We did a Ryan Reynolds. We referenced a thing, and now we're going to exploit the reference for 2.5 hours.
So Nick,
go ahead and tell me. I want to hear why Timmy thinks Creed is better.
Well, okay, before we get into that, I'm just curious kind of what you guys' relationships are with these movies. Nick, because he's a million years old, considers the first movie to be like one of his favorite films of all time, which is fine. You know, grandpas can have their taste too. But I'm curious, Culture Nick, kind of like what your experience with this franchise is. Like, did you grow up watching the Rocky films at all? Or
I did, yeah. Actually, Rocky franchise is like a staple in my household growing up. So I watched them all multiple times, like as a kid to through my adolescence. But watching Creed and even the first Rocky this past weekend was like the first time I've watched them in probably like 10 years. So it was kind of okay. Returning so
I'll,
to something.
I'll specify. I never really saw Rocky 1, like actually sat down and watched Rocky 1 as a kid a bunch. It's not like a huge nostalgic thing for me. I remember my family would like throw on Rocky 4 and shit on TV, or like the third Rocky with fucking Mr. T and shit. And that was the shit that my family all liked and put on all the time. I never actually sat down and just really sat down and watched the first Rocky until I was like 22 years old. And I super, super like just fell in love with the movie. So I don't really have a nostalgic tie to it. It's like the same as like Blade Runner. I never saw Blade Runner until 2049 was about to come out. I saw it like a year before 2049.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Wait, so did watching Creed make you watch Rocky, or was that not how it was?
Probably, honestly, if it was right around the same time. Because I sat down and watched all the Rockies in a row whenever I did it.
Yeah.
I would think I was kind of the same thing as well, but beforehand I had seen Rocky 3 and 4. And it wasn't like kind of on purpose either. I was just more like, I think I was in a hotel room and I was scrolling through the channels. And I think I stopped at the part where, Rocky and Creed are in this weird homoerotic montage where they're like tenderly like grabbing each other's arms as they're like running through the beach. And I remember sitting there going like, what the fuck is this? So I just sat there and like watched the entire thing. And I remember I laughed like literally every 5 to 10 minutes of the movie because it's the stupidest shit ever. And yeah, which is why in all honesty, I mean this with zero exaggeration, I would rather rewatch Rocky's 3 through 5 before I rewatch the first Rocky again. Because I get so much entertainment value out of them. Like, they're not good movies, but they're so fucking hilarious. Like, I legitimately, Rocky 5 alone is just this gigantic dumpster fire that it's like, it's very much barnyard level film. Like it's very, I haven't seen it in a long while, but in my memory, it's like a barnyard level film that I would love to like get drunk and like watch.
I think
make
the
fun
further
of with,
the
like,
films go
stuff.
On, the campier they get. And I think Rocky IV and especially Rocky IV is like, is enjoyable for a completely different reason just because it's so shit. But like Rocky I, like, especially as somebody who's like, I don't know if Nick relates to me on this, but like as somebody who's like a dreamer and kind of like, kind of has these like weird aspirational goals for myself that are like kind of unrealistic. Like, I feel like I really relate to Rocky as a character, right?
Yeah.
Like he's a dreamer. He's like, he's squandering his potential and he feels it every single day. Like the movie's almost like shot documentary style. Like you can like just live with him as a character. You kind of see like all his weird idiosyncrasies and shit.
Shot like, and, like a documentary. I don't know what that means.
Like it's very loosely filmed and it just holds shots for a really long time. Almost like you're outside looking in. Even the audio is like it's super, super hard to hear it almost at times. Cause like the road noise is fucking covering it up. It like it, it isn't shot just like a normal
studio
film.
That's just
film.
70s filmmaking. That's not really documentary filmmaking. That's just more how 70s films
disagree.
Were shot at the time.
Because if you even if you look at Rocky II, it's almost way more of a studio film. Like they,
well, Rocky II came out in the 80s, and like you said, like it had way more money behind its belt. So like obviously they could afford to have more coverage shots and
yeah,
stuff like
having
that.
Less
like,
money,
I feel like,
having less money is definitely like a big part of the effect of it.
But I feel like what you're saying about like it's shot like a documentary, like that, I feel like the way you're describing it, that's just how most 70s films that had like micro budget, I guess not micro budget, like small budgets like were shot. They just had to do as many long takes and as many like shoulder level long shots as possible.
But you
possible,
can't even,
you
know,
because
that's
all they
could
afford.
You can't even say that I disagree because that would indicate
that I'm not
saying
that's like a bad way of shooting. I'm just telling you that's the realistic nature of the thing. Like it's not for any like real artistic purposes. It's just, oh, this is just the most convenient way to shoot things.
But at the same
time,
the film has like amazing shot composition, like in a lot of scenes. I think,
yeah.
I disagree. I feel like
there's a lot of nice cinematography in the film, I think. You don't think so, Tim?
I just think that Creed has like way more to offer from a visual perspective than Creed. Like the directing in Creed alone is like 100 times better and more visually interesting than anything that happens in Rocky.
But,
like the fight scenes alone in Creed is just so much better directed and so much better shot.
I can't disagree with that. The fight scenes are a million times better. But in Rocky, there's only 2 fight scenes and both of them are really fucking short. The movie isn't about the fights.
So what? There's only like 3 fights in Creed. Like it's...
Rocky isn't a fucking sports movie. That's the difference. Like Creed does everything that Rocky like 3 through 5 does a million times better. It's literally Rocky 3 and 5, but like ramped up to a fucking 20. It's a million times better sports movie.
I don't know what to tell you, but boxing is considered a sport and there's boxing in the movie.
But would you consider The Wrestler a fucking wrestling movie?
Sure, why not?
No, it's a drama. That's what Rocky is. Rocky is a fucking good fucking drama.
It's a sports drama. Like yeah. I'm not using it as a means, a way to like demean. That's literally what it is. Like you're saying, like, oh, would you call The Wrestler a wrestling movie? Yeah, why not?
I'm saying
and there's lots of wrestling
in
it, and it's
what
a
is
drama.
The priority of the movie though? The movie isn't aiming to be a sports movie. Creed is a sports movie. Rocky is not a sports movie. I'm talking about what the main focus of the film is.
You're saying like the boxing is incidental to the fact that it's like a character study about this guy who's down on his luck and wants to achieve something in life, you know?
Exactly.
That's fine. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't understand what the movie was going for. That's like fantastic. Great. If you connect with that, that's amazing. There are plenty of films that have a similar narrative and have a similar theme to this film that I certainly relate to. Like one of the more recent examples I've seen is like Look Back. It's basically like a similar kind of story. My issue has nothing to do with like the narrative, even though I, you know, still have issues with it. And I think like a good chunk of this movie could be cut out. Like, I think it's just so blandly and generically shot that I'm just like, okay, great, cool. Like, I understand that the movie is like...
I think that's unfair
like
to say. It literally
beat
Taxi Driver as Best Picture. Like, how are you even saying that?
What do you mean? Taxi Driver has great cinematography. I have no idea how that has anything to
do with
this. I'm
saying it won Best Picture over Taxi Driver.
Like
it's obviously...
If we're going to compare... Okay, so what? Green Book won Best Picture of 2018. Like, what does that matter? Like, that doesn't mean anything.
What was better than Green Book in 2018? 2018 wasn't that crazy, was it?
2018 had The Favorite. It had Roma. It had.
It was a huge controversy because, yeah, so, because Green Book won.
Yeah,
the Oscars
so, like,
get it wrong.
I don't
sometimes,
really.
You know?
Yeah, I don't really give. No, it gets it wrong like half the time. I don't give a shit if something wins Best Picture. Like fucking Crash won Best Picture. That means nothing to me. Like,
but I'm just saying, a movie's not going to win Best
and the
Picture
greatest
if it's
show
amateurishly
in the world.
Filmed,
like that doesn't mean anything to me. Like I'm just saying. I'm just countering your point of like, oh, it won Best Picture over Taxi Driver. Like, so great, fantastic. Like, but that has nothing to do with like the actual quality of the film. You know. So, and if we're gonna talk Scorsese movie comparisons, like Raging Bull is like a boxing movie. Well, okay, it's a drama, I guess, with boxing in it. That is essentially just this movie, kind of. But for starters, the music, the way the music is used is so much better. The way it's shot, it's so much better. The use of black and white really like adds to both the fights and both like the more like serious dialogue heavy scenes.
I
like,
think the movies have a very different message. Much... But I think Raging Bull is a really good film as well.
Yeah, it's the better film from this. And I'm not saying the movie's like bad or whatever. Like there are elements about it that I do think are great, you know, like this is one of the few times that I can genuinely say Sylvester Stallone gave a great performance, you know. Even though a lot of this movie is just filled to the brim with what I like to call Oscar bait moments, like it's filled with so many just like, okay, this is clearly your moment for the actor to shine and do his thing and blah blah blah, whatever, you know. So because a lot of the character stuff are just like quickly resolved as if like nothing happened, as if it just got resolved by magic, you know, because there are so many
example.
Like moments where
you're probably talking
like,
about when Mickey goes to his apartment, right, and he's like,
yeah,
yelling,
and then
at
he's
the
just like, oh, hey,
that scene
hey,
is
Mickey,
genuinely good though. He's talking about his fucking apartment stinking, like smelling like shit for fucking like just screaming.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter because the next scene is like, hey, Mickey, see you later. We'll train at the gym together.
But I've literally done that before. I've literally reacted that exact same way before in real life. So that is realistic. Like you look back and you're like, I'm being a fucking piece of shit. Let me fucking stop being a piece of shit. Like that is realistic to me.
But Rocky did have a point, though. I mean, Mickey never gave him the time of day, partially because, as he mentions like a couple scenes prior, Mickey felt like Rocky wasted his potential because he was working for that loan shark instead of actually like trying to become a legitimate pro boxer. So I feel like he was trying to get all his anger out that he was kind of passed over for the past 10 years. And once that was all out, he's like, oh, shit, I actually do need this guy, so I'm going to go apologize. So I like that scene, actually.
No, and also, but it's the scene, there's a the difference between ending? That and just like, because I understand what you're saying about like, oh, I've done that before. Yeah, sure. But there's a difference between like, oh, I accidentally like stubbed your toe or I accidentally like took your math homework. Like, there's a difference between doing shit like that and then apologizing the next day and then just fucking over someone for 10 years. Like, it's just like, okay, see you later. Like, okay, great. I guess we resolved that.
But the movie's also shown that Rocky is like just a genuinely good dude. Like,
Paulie's mad that he's getting screwed over. Oh, no worries. We got that resolved the next day. No problem.
I think the Paulie situations are more realistic to what you're saying. Like a lot of the Paulie getting mad shit is kind of like just blown over really quickly.
Paulie is so fucking annoying. He's like legitimately like a waste of space. Like if you just removed Paulie from the movie, barely would change anything.
Yeah, I think he's a better example of what you're talking about. But also like the scene at the end, whenever Rocky loses. And he literally doesn't give a fuck what, like the scorecard. He doesn't care who won. He doesn't care who lost. He's just happy he made it to the distance, just screaming fucking Adrian. I literally every time I watch that scene, I cry. Like genuinely,
Adrian!
I cry every time I watch that scene.
Adrian,
just imagine, bro. Like he doesn't give a fuck that he won. He just literally achieved his fucking goals, and everybody else, like it's such a fucking powerful moment to me, dude.
I mean, I'm going to defend Paulie for a second because I feel like if the movie is interested in hyper realism, which I think it is to a certain degree, I think it's trying to portray Paulie as probably like a typical scumbag, like working class Philadelphia guy who Rocky got entangled with, and he's probably known him his entire life. And yeah, they're going to have a fucking fight where Paulie like beats the shit, like breaks all the shit in his fucking house because he's mad at Rocky for some perceived slight, but then they make up 2 seconds later because why the fuck wouldn't they? Because they're brothers, you know? Like, that makes sense to me, you know?
I can see it both ways, too. I mean, I can see why it's annoying, but I also can see how that could actually happen, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So, shout out to Sylvester Stallone. Him and Frankie F, FF... FFC, Frankie Ford Coppola. Shout out to them for giving Talia Shire a fucking career, because I don't really know if she's in anything other than the shit that she's in with those two.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, her character is very strange in the beginning of this movie, because Rocky is just like going there to her little pet store, like trying to talk to her, and she doesn't even say hello to him. She just says goodbye for like the first three times they meet up, and then Paulie has to like entice her into even like going on a date with Rocky.
I thought it was kind of annoying that like they made Adrian this like, they basically just did like the redheaded girl from like Ready Player One. They did like, they pulled that shit where they were like, God, look how ugly and losery she is. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know, like, she's kind of hot. Like, I don't know, like, what these people are saying when they're like, oh, she's such an ugly loser. Like, are you people fucking blind? Have you seen Talia Shire in the 70s? Like, what the fuck have you people been smoking?
The shit that fucked me up was when they're like, hey, she's retarded. She ain't retarded, you know, she's shy. And it's like, you should take her to the zoo. I hear retards like the zoo.
No, but it's like up, it's dude. Like that 70s, 80s movie trope where it's like, you know, you'd be so much more beautiful if you took these glasses off.
God, babe, if you just stopped wearing your prescription glasses that help you see in the first place and just let your hair out more, you could be such a smoking hot babe. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, God, Jesus, like, okay, whatever.
But yeah. So, moving to Creed, yeah. I mean, the fight scenes are, like, incredibly shot. I think the movie's good. I don't really have a bunch of negative things to say about Creed. I just really don't connect with it on the same level as I do Rocky.
It's funny, I mean, because I connect with Creed, like, way more as, like, a narrative than Rocky ever does. Because, like, Rocky is, like, the most, like, dad boomer shit ever, which, like, I mean, there, not that there isn't anything that I don't connect with Rocky, but I kind of just sit there and I'm going, okay, cool, great, you know, like, I'm just kind of there to just get to the next scene where Rocky can bounce his ball and then talk to random strangers on the street. Like, I really just do not give a single fuck about anything that's happening in the film. It's a movie that I just kind of begrudgingly respect more than I actually like, but Creed is a movie that I like a lot more than I was expecting, because the movie is almost just as long as Rocky One, but this one like fucking flies by. It's the pacing is so much more efficient. There's less time wasting bullshit, TWBs, as I like to call them. There's less TWBs in the film. There's much more interesting characters. There's a lot more chemistry between Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson than fucking Rocky ever had with Adrian. Like you see, I mean, you guys even admitted the fight scenes are way better shot and way better presented. The editing is like really, really amazing. Like, Ryan Coogler is just a really fantastic director. He really knows how to make a film so precisely and efficiently. You know, he doesn't always make bangers. I don't really care for his Black Panther films, but when you watch something like this or Fruitvale Station, you kind of just go, oh, wow, like, there's a real, like, voice behind this film. Like, there's a real, like, artistic vision going on. Like, it isn't just, like, some fucking sloppy Joe, like, school lunch slop that someone, like, shat out because, check it out, we got the Rocky franchise, let's fucking do it or whatever, you know? There's, like, an actual voice behind the directing, way more than, like, anything I can see in the first Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that I'm teetering between saying that I liked Creed more, because I mean, Creed definitely it made me feel it made me feel more emotional than Rocky did watching it. And even that, you know, that's even considering that, as I told you guys, like, I have more of a nostalgic connection with the Rocky film than I do the Creed film. But like, I actually cried multiple times during the Creed movie. I was like, damn, this is like really fucking hitting me. Like the moment where they're all like, all the kids from the neighborhood are like doing wheelies behind him and he's running down the street. And that's like one of the first times you kind of hear the, or at least like some kind of variation on the original Rocky theme, you know, as he's running down the street. Like, that was a very powerful moment.
Yeah, that's I mean, I totally agree too. I emotionally connect with this film 100 times more than I did the original Rocky. Like, you mentioned that scene. I think for me, what I really emotionally connect with is the stuff like are the much more quieter stuff, you know, when Rocky's saying, look, I don't want to do chemo because it killed Adrian. And I frankly, I don't really give a shit about dying. We're not a real family, that sort of stuff. And you can see like how that breaks him, you know, because like all his entire life, he's been looking for a father figure. And when he like teams up with Rocky, he kind of has that like little boy like energy to him. He's like, yes, like come on, Unc, like let's go, let's train or whatever, you know, like because he never had that like. He never had that father to spend time with, you know, and I love how the film doesn't like talk down to its audience at all. It's not like, look how he's like emotionally connecting with this father figure. It just kind of shows as it is. And it's like, if you get it, you get it. Or if you don't, you don't, you know?
Yeah. And also the fact where he's like, you know, when they finally come together, like right before he starts training in earnest for the final fight, he's like, if you're going to fight this thing, I'm going to fight it. And then they like both kind of make that pact to both train and to do the chemo. That was a really beautiful moment too.
Yeah. Really, really great stuff. Yeah.
I think the Stallone and fucking B. Jordan chemistry was really good. I think a lot of my problems with it are like, first of all, a lot of it was just like the 2010 style where like everything was kind of like that, like cringy, like here comes the boom, fucking let's throw in Stitch type of thing where everything is like a reference to something. So like I hate whenever everything is like trying to like, I don't know. It feels less real. It feels more like contrived.
You say that it feels like it's a reference. Maybe it's because I haven't seen any of the Rocky films for so long, but I feel like the member berries in this one are just so much more toned down than what I'm used to in a legacy sequel. Because like when you think of like shitty legacy sequels, like I don't know, like what are some of the worst ones? Like Beetlejuice, Alien Romulus, fucking Star Wars The Force Awakens. Like when you think of shit like that, they fucking love just slapping you in the face with just remember this like 1,000 times over. And
I'm
like,
not even talking about, well I guess I am, all I was leading into member berries, but I think a lot of it, I mean a lot of the stuff that was like referencing to Rocky, I think it was referencing Rocky movies that I don't care for as much. So like I think that like a lot of that was kind of annoying for me.
Man, I really wanted them to reference fucking Polly's Girlfriend Robot. That would have been hilarious. I would have been like, yes, you guys acknowledged me. Yes.
But it really just felt like, I don't know, dude. There's just something about it that just felt so like, I don't know what the fucking word is. Just so commercial. And I think Rocky just felt way more real to me. And I think that's why I like it more.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I could also just see that being a byproduct of the time that it was made, though, as you said.
Yeah, 100%. I think it has to do with, like, them having, like, issues whenever they were filming. Like, all the, like, the random people they had to hire and, like, the limitations of, like, shooting without permits and shit like that. Like, things that they literally didn't have control of made the film better. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and just say I hate Creed, because I think Creed's a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah, you go. I was gonna say, did I win? Like, so, no, I'm kidding.
Well, Nick, I guess I just want to hear like your like culminative argument about like why is Rocky so much better than Creed? Because I mean, I'm at this moment, I'm sort of leaning towards the Creed side for me, just based on my own personal experience with both of them. But
I think Creed has a lot of things going for it in terms of like cinematography, like, and just money behind it. But I think Rocky is just a far more human film, and I think it's much more easy for like men who are like nearing into their 30s to like relate with and like feel the same experience that he's feeling. I think Creed doesn't really help. It's hard for me to relate to Creed because his struggle is one that not every man doesn't go through. I'm not in the foot, like the shadow of my father. You know what I mean? That's not something I can really relate to. And I think Rocky is just a very, very relatable film to a lot of people. And I think Creed is kind of limiting.
I mean, that's kind of like a subjective feeling. Like, I can't really take away that experience from you, you know? Like, because I don't really have, like, some mega famous dad that, you know, was, that I'm trying to live up to their legacy. So I didn't really get anything from that angle. But like, at the same time, that's not what I really took away from the film. I took away more for like the whole him trying to look for a father figure type narrative where like he never had like a parent growing up that he could look up to, and he always felt like he had to fend for himself. And when he found Rocky, he found that loving relationship that he never had. Like no one ever like just hugged him and said, "You did a good job, kid," or fucking whatever and shit like that. And I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of, I connect with that a lot, and I figured, you know, it's And it's well written. Like, it's there was very rarely any points where I thought it was hokey or cliche or cheap, you know? I mean, there are some, like,
a lot of the cheesy stuff in Creed is within the editing, more so than anything.
The editing is awesome.
And like, well, no, the editing for the fights is good, but like a lot of like the throwing up on the like the champions like scorecards and stuff like that on like through freeze frames on them and stuff. It just felt very like ESPN and like a movie that I wanted to be cinema, like cinema, you know?
I mean, it is cinema. There are lots of great moments of editing, like the scenes where they cut back and forth between different moments of Donnie's like training montage. I thought that was a really well edited montage. There's lots of just great editing in general.
I think there's
a lot
of good editing in it, but I think there's a lot of things that are kind of cringy thrown in there.
What were you when you were saying like here comes the boom and Stitch? Like what does that mean?
So Stitch. So there's a lot of like
here
references
comes the boom
to, like,
is a. Sorry, I'll let you. Never mind. Well,
it's like a Kevin Smith comedy about UFC, but like Kevin the James. Stitch guy, the Stitch guy is like a real like the guy who was doing his cut work and stuff. They like just kept referencing him, and that's like a real fight cut dude. So they threw that reference in there just for the dads out there that are like, "Oh, I know that guy," and it just felt really hokey to me. I don't know.
Oh, is he a real guy? I don't know anything.
Yeah,
about
he's like a super famous cut man in UFC.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely will say that Creed feels more like a conventional sports movie in a lot of ways. It kind of because like they do make an effort to show you like, oh, those like cutaways to the HBO documentaries that, you know, within the film. You know what I'm talking about? Like in the beginning.
Sponsored by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, like all that stuff. The thing with Rocky, like I think the narrative of Rocky is kind of uneven. Like I like the first half of it, and then Rocky gets this like insane out of nowhere chance to finally prove himself and you know get a shot at the title or whatever. But then it doesn't really go into what I was expecting to see when I turned it on. It was like, all right, now we're gonna kick into gear with like more training and we're gonna see like his steady progression. Like all that stuff is kind of it's still like focusing more on the relationships, which is fine, but I felt like that stuff was already kind of established. I wanted the sports movie to like really more kick into gear than it actually ended up happening.
But I think that's where it comes into play, where like if you were a huge fan of like Rocky. Like, because I honestly, Rocky 2 kind of carries on the legacy a little bit. Rocky 3 on, I think if you prefer those movies, I think Creed is going to be just those movies, but better. And that's kind of, you're going to get what you're looking for
I don't really agree with that. I think Creed 2 is kind of more just like Rocky 3 through 5. But I can't even say it's better because Creed 2 isn't a good movie. I didn't like Creed 2 at all. But... yeah, I mean, I agree with Nick, Culture Nick, about Rocky 1, because, like, there's a huge chunk of, like, the second act of this movie that is just so repetitive and so boring that I'm just like, Jesus. Like, I'm not really the type of person to, like, ask for action scenes when something is boring, but holy fuck, there needed to be some sort of action scene in the middle, because I was getting
like,
really impatient and really bored.
Give me an example of what's boring there, because I'm struggling to think of what's boring in the second act of the movie.
What we're saying is boring. Like, I mean, for me personally, some scenes is boring that you might not find, like, boring at all. Like, pretty much any scene with Pauly, for example, is just a gigantic screech, like, in tone and, like, just pacing in general, because like I think at a certain point, once like Pauly gets into another like rage mode for like the 700th time, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, you know, when like him and Adrian have to do another pep talk again near the end of the second octave, I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing this shit again, you know, like we have to do more scenes where Rocky and Mickey are doing some shit together again. It's just like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I have no idea why this is 2 hours, like at all. Like I like you could cut like some of this down. The pacing would be way more efficient. Like I'm not even saying the movie has to like go faster or include action scenes in the middle. I'm like, I was mostly joking when I say that, but there is a kernel of truth in the sense where I'm like, man, this is so unnecessarily slow and so unnecessarily repetitive, you know? Like, if they just cut some of this out, like, the pacing would be so much more efficient, and, like, the movie would just go by a bit faster for me. But it takes its time for, like, literally no reason most of the time, and I'm just like, well, okay,
I think that's what
you
I
know,
like
great.
About it. So
Maybe, and a lot of the dramatic moments are just so overplayed. Like the whole like him saying like this place is a dump, this stinks or whatever is like powerful at first, but then it goes on for like way too many seconds long, and I'm just like, Jesus, I get it, move on already, God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of agree. I'm in agreement with that to a certain degree, because I feel like I get that the movie's not really about Apollo Creed, like, you know, the first Rocky movie, but I wanted to know a little bit more about him. Like, we don't really get in any kind of sense of who he actually is, besides the fact that he's the champ, he's kind of like a showman, and he's choosing Rocky to fight because everyone else is like afraid to fight him. Like, I would have liked to actually get more of a sense of who he is. I mean, I get that's what the next Rocky movies are for, but I don't know. I wanted to see a little bit more of Apollo.
I could probably agree with that, honestly, because I think part of, and I think a lot of how I feel about Creed in the first one is brought on by the second one, because I kind of like it's a continuation, obviously, but I liked that in the first movie, like the villain of the movie is actually like just a good dude. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
True. Yeah.
Like, yeah, and I think that's just super interesting.
Doesn't have him in the first Rocky. He's literally just, I'm a gigantic asshole, and that's it. Like,
I don't think he comes off as a gigantic asshole. I just think if we would have gotten more time with him to see that he is genuinely like a good person in that first movie, it would have been even more powerful and something way more interesting as well. Because it's not very often that you have like a genuinely good person as the like the antagonist in the movie.
Well, you only say that because we know that's what Creed's character is in the sequels. Like, if the sequels didn't exist and we only look at the first Rocky movie,
no, and that's why I'm agreeing.
Then Creed doesn't have anything going for him. He's just, look at me, I'm the king of the world type shit, you know, which is great, awesome, but, you know, like you said, that's what made the British guy, I'm not going to call him a villain, because, like, calling someone a villain in a sports movie is kind of pedantic. They're just, like, they're just the obstacle for someone to beat, and that's about it, you know? So, yeah. But he did have enough,
Creed
like...
3.
I guess. So
he's just huge,
I mean,
piece of
look,
shit
Michael
got
B. Jordan had to fight a fucking rapist, okay? Like, he had more on the line with that one.
Wait, is Jonathan Majors is a rapist in that movie?
No.
I didn't watch that one.
No, just
he's saying
in real
that Jonathan
life,
Majors,
I was just making a
he's
joke.
He's not a rapist, though, by the way.
Oh, it was sexual abuse, whatever, you know, so.
It wasn't even sexual abuse.
Yeah,
it was... He like snatched like, a phone out of someone's hand or something.
Yeah, it was like it seems like it was super I don't know. We don't need to get into that, but I don't stand by calling him a rapist. I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah. You have to say allegedly, Tim.
Okay, allegedly. He allegedly raped someone.
Which it still isn't true, but
that doesn't make it better. That's why I'm saying might as well just say it. Like, if I said allegedly something, that doesn't make it better. If anything, that makes you seem more like a gigantic fucking scumbag. Oh, I didn't fucking like diddle those kids. I allegedly diddled those kids. Like, what the fuck? No, like that doesn't make it better. If anything, that makes you more guilty.
Yeah, but
he allegedly abused his spouse.
If we're going out of the podcaster's content creator's playbook, as long as you say allegedly, you can literally say anything about anyone, and it's fine.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What was I saying?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah,
were talking about, yeah.
Oh, I don't know if this is a hot take. I think Adrian is such an annoying character, too. I think Bianca is a much more colorful and depth and more interesting character. Just like, she just has more going on. Like, she's just not like the side character that's just, oh, go Rocky, I'm so sad, or I want you to go fight, beat the bad guy. Like, she has her own like personality and dreams and like desires and stuff. Like, she's just as much a character as Michael B. Jordan's Creed or Rocky. You know, Adrian just kind of felt like she had a kind of a character in the beginning, and then later on she's just like Rocky's number one cheerleader, and that's about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, great, cool, I guess it's the 70s and that's how these types of characters were written in sports dramas, I guess, but you know, doesn't change the fact that it's not great.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, I think she like kind of falls victim to the misogyny of the writers of the time to a certain degree.
Yeah, I'd say I agree, but I also don't think Tessa Thompson's character is all that interesting either. They tried.
I mean, I'm not saying she has like the most amazing character in the world or whatever. I'm just saying in comparison to Adrian, she has a lot more going on as a character than Adrian does.
She's literally Beethoven, so I don't know why you're saying she's not interesting.
That's true.
You're right.
I didn't even think about that.
She's a musical genius who can't make her art because she has to wearing a hearing aid.
One of the things that Creed does very well as a legacy sequel is what I mentioned earlier, where it doesn't like fucking spam like member berries or like the iconic shit that happens that you remember, you know, because part of what I disliked about it something does, like, though, say, but... like the Star Wars, The Force Awakens, is that they couldn't help themselves and just fucking spam every iconic Star Wars jingle or theme or whatever, you know, throughout the film. And it got super annoying. And in this, like, I mean, it still has it, but it's like, it doesn't like beat you over the head with like all the iconic music or imagery or whatever, you know, like they don't even go to the art museum where Rocky does that thing until near the end of the film. They don't play the actual Rocky theme until the end of the film. And I thought
they do the stair thing. He does the thing where he walks into the bar. He's like, I heard y'all had a secret fight boxing match. Who won? Like, they do that shit a bunch of times in that movie. I think there's member berries aplenty in that.
They
film.
Show the turtles.
I mean, I don't consider those member berries. They're more like, yeah, it's still a reference to what happened in the other films, but it's not like.
Then what is a member berry? Like, not a reference to something.
But it's not like they intercut that shit. Like, it's not like some shitty film like Matrix Resurrections where they're like, they cut in between characters saying, remember this? And then they show the thing that happened in the past. And I'm like, it doesn't do any of that. Like, yeah, I guess you can call those like references or whatever. But it at least like fits what they're going for. It at least like makes sense within the plot of the film, because like I said, it's a movie about fatherhood and him wanting to learn about Rocky and his relationship with Creed. Like, it makes sense within the context of that. Like, so it's like member berries, if you want to call them that, like that's at least earned. It's like, I hate it when like the member berries just become shit like, look, we gotta escape the planet, we gotta fly that piece of junk, and then they cut to the piece of junk and it's the Millennium Falcon. I'm like, fucking Christ, like, whatever.
So. Well, I mean, I don't know if you could ding Matrix Resurrection. I didn't really love that movie, but that's like a meta commentary about member berries. Like, that's what the whole movie is about, you know. Of course it's gonna have that stuff.
It's a meta thing. That makes it okay.
Is.
It literally it is, though.
That's like what they were trying to do with the movie.
Sure, it's literally a dog shit movie on purpose.
Oh, that makes it good. Guys, we did it bad. It doesn't bad make it good. Purpose. So we did it bad on purpose, so you can't criticize us for being a bad movie, because I guess being a bad movie on purpose just makes you good movie. It's like negatives. Equals positives.
I never said that.
You can be bad movie, but actually we're good movie because we did bad on purpose. Shut the fuck up. I hate all of you.
I never said that.
I agree with Nick. I just needed to vent. Okay, I'm sorry.
I agree that the member berries, though, like, it's hard to criticize those specifically in that situation because it's meant, I don't know. But yeah, Matrix Resolutions fucking licks my asshole.
I don't get as mad as... I don't get as mad at member berries as most people, I think. Well, it depends on what the thing is, you know? If it's a piece of media that I really love, then I'm not immune to being like, I do remember that, and I thank you for showing me, you know.
I mean, I don't even have anything against like doing nostalgia shit like that. Just like, make sure you use the nostalgia shit for like some actual purpose that isn't just like just a reference and then you call it a day. Like, I want it to actually mean something at the end of the day. Like, that's why like Blade Runner 2049 is such a great legacy sequel, because like the references and member berries that are in that film, they're very much like warranted within the context of the movie. Like, it makes sense why they're like reintroducing things that you loved from the original film into like Blade Runner 2049. Like, it's why I don't get mad when they play the Tears and Rain theme like at the end of the film. If anything, like I really got choked up at that scene because it fits so well, and it's such like a great like payoff to everything that's happened to both the story of the film and like Ryan Gosling's character.
I think movies, this is gonna sound bad, but like, I think movies that have like a very like wide dumb audience, like Star Wars or Rocky and shit like that, like they're gonna be more prone to having those like member berries, whereas like a thoughtful sci-fi film like Blade Runner is, they're not going to want to put those fucking member berries in there, you know?
Yeah,
I guess. You can see that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sorry, no. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting though, because it's become such a common critique against these legacy sequels is that they harp on the member berries. I mean, the fact that we even have a name for it called member berries is pretty apt, you know, because it just happens so often. I mean, I feel like Tim, you definitely rail against it more than any of us do. I feel like it's definitely a huge sticking point with you in terms of modern filmmaking, right?
I guess it's just because I see it so often in so many modern movies that I legitimately get frustrated, like, when I see
I think it's the combination of them being in bad films.
I mean, but even so in, regularly. Even in movies that I didn't hate, I still just couldn't help but just be like, did you really need to do this? Like, did you really need to shove this in? Because I remember what I saw was something like, say, I don't know, like Top Gun Maverick or something, which I think is a decent film. I didn't hate Top Gun Maverick at all, but there were plenty of moments where not only did they try to do the member berries, but they tried to do them worse. Like, because they had that like scene where it was essentially just like the homoerotic volleyball game in Top Gun with like the shirtless football game or whatever. Like, it. Not only is that just a reference to that, but it also just like isn't nearly as like interestingly shot or as like interestingly like directed or presented or whatever. Like, I think overall Top Gun Maverick is the better film, but I think like Tony Scott, what he was going for with that movie, there's so much like distinct uniqueness with a lot of the shots in that film that you can't help but not realize. Like, even if it's the stupidest thing in the world, you at least like remember it. But I like barely remember the shirtless homoerotic like football game they do on the beach, you know, because it's just so much lamer in comparison.
Yeah, but it's important for the plot for you to know that the Air Force is still oiling up their bros on the beach.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that was, I mean, that was vital.
You can't forget that.
Yeah, I can't forget about that one.
the Air Force spent so much money on that movie guiding the narrative.
I mean, the first movie was pretty much paid for by the U.S. military, so
they want you to know that you can have fun oiling up your bros on the beach if you join.
Guys, all this jacked up baby oil is essential to the plot. I promise you.
God, I thought Top Gun Maverick was fine.
Yeah, I really do not understand why everyone, like Spielberg, is like, Tom, you saved the cinema this year. Thank you so much.
It was such an just okay movie.
All the time. They literally said that shit about the fucking Flash movie. They were just like, Andy Muschietti, you fucking saved cinema with this Flash movie shit. Like,
well, those were paid reviews. Let's be real.
I think so.
I'm probably more of a Flash defender than most. I actually enjoyed that movie. But
of course,
like,
you did.
But that movie is not good.
That's just because you're literally the head of Ezra Miller's legal defense fund, dude. You fucking love Ezra Miller.
Dude, you're in charge of that shit?
I love him.
I fucking knew it. I knew there was something sketchy with you.
I don't know what it is, but every time I see him on screen, I'm captivated. I just think he's a good actor. I just wish he wasn't, or I wish they weren't crazy.
Thank you. You did it.
Yeah. I prefer my actors who are less psychotic / violent / insane, if that's okay. If I'm allowed
to have
that preference.
But as soon as they get their shit together, they're gonna be back, and I'm gonna be enjoying cinema.
You're doing it now, but it makes it worse because you're like, if they get their shit together, I can appreciate them doing movies.
Yeah, it's just as bad if you just were like, yeah, I allegedly like beat the shit out of a person. Fucking thing, man.
I'm trying to overemphasize to make up for the times that I did it wrong. Okay,
yeah.
Let me catch up a few times.
Stunning and brave, Nick. Very stunning and brave.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to just to return to Star Wars a bit, like you said that, like, oh, they probably wouldn't like throw in these member berries and like pop like dumb franchise shit like Star Wars. Like, you got to give George Lucas some credit. Like, when he was making the prequels, at least he didn't just spam the shit out of just like references and remember this. Not that there isn't stuff like that in the film, for sure is, but like that was never his priority. Like, Obi-Wan being in the prequels isn't there just because it's a reference to the old guy from the original Star Wars trilogy. Like, he at least like has his own place in the story. Like, he at least like mattered to the plot. And, you know, like, Ewan McGregor like went out of his way to make his version of the character different from Alec Guinness, you know? So it's like, yeah, like, I guess it's a reference, but like, he's a reference in the same way, just like Yoda being in the film is a reference. Like, yeah, they're characters we remember, but they still played an important role.
But you
in the
don't
plot.
Think
they're
him,
not just characters.
Him continuing his own story is like a reason for that, though, because it's not like somebody's like, hey, this, like, because whenever somebody else takes it over, they're like, hey, look, I'm doing what this other guy did. You know, this guy's just continuing the story he was already doing.
Well, there's a difference, you know, like it comes across really disingenuous when it's in shit like, say, I don't know, like Alien Romulus or something, where the movie is so creatively bankrupt that they literally have no better ideas than just remember this shot
so
or line from the Alien or Aliens, you know, like. I'm not going to pretend the prequels are like amazing movies or anything, but you got to give George Lucas some credit. Like, he went out of his way to tell this very ambitious narrative about the fall of democracy and the rise of the empire and like the fall of Anakin Skywalker and like how it leads to the redemption of his character in the original trilogy. Like, he had very clear goals in mind that he wanted to tell with the prequels. He didn't do a great job of accomplishing that goal, but he at least had that like narrative mindset that he wanted to fulfill, you know? Like, Alien Romulus was just, man, I do love Alien, and I'm going to show how much I love Alien by referencing how much I love Alien, you know?
So, I don't think the member berries were that bad in fucking Alien Romulus, bro. I really don't.
I mean, it wasn't, like, a horrible experience, because, like, I actually really liked the first, like, maybe 35 to 45 minutes of the movie. I think
bringing
like
back Bilbo Baggins was like the only fucking egregious thing they did.
I thought it was filled with so many egregious shit. Like, there were so many like shots that were literally just ripped straight from the original Alien or Aliens. Like the scene where it's like a close up of the Xenomorph's teeth right before it sticks its fucking penis vagina thing into his face. Like, and then like the movie just stopping to literally just say, I already said this before in that episode, but just when he just goes, he stands there for like seconds and just be like, get away from her, you bitch. And I was just like, oh, fucking Christ, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it this way, I mean, like Alien Romulus and also the Disney Star Wars sequels are kind of similar in a way, because they're both coming off the back of, you know, installations in the franchise that tried to do their own thing, but a lot of fans didn't like. So I'm just wondering, like, do you think if George, you know, ambitious as it was, and I agree with you, Tim, I agree with it, basically everything you said about it, that it was ambitious, yeah, but like fatally flawed. If it was, you know, if it was ambitious, but, you know, more generally got a positive reception from the fan base, do you think Disney and also Alien Romulus would have maybe had less member berries or less like heavy insistence on just like shoving so much nostalgia down viewers' throats if those previous episodes weren't as, you know, if they were just a little bit better received? You know,
I think
I mean?
If the prequels were well received, then we wouldn't be in this mess in the first place. Like, George Lucas wouldn't have sold Star Wars to Disney in general. I mean, it might have still happened, but like, you got to remember that the whole reason why he sold Star Wars to Disney in the first place is just because you just could not deal with all these incessant man babies like screaming to their dying breaths about how George Lucas raped their childhood or some shit. You know, like, I would fucking give up Star Wars like in a heartbeat if I constantly had that drilled into my ears, you know. So it's there probably would have still been like this like splooge of member berries and references, you know, because like the Hobbit movies like came out before this like explosion of like nostalgia movies, you know. But I would argue those films are equally filled with as many like references and like member berries and shit, you know. Like the whole Legolas just being in the second and third movie for just no fucking reason is just like the biggest like fuck you, here's a reference like thing ever. I think that's just as egregious as anything else that happens in like most of these legacy sequels.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but the thing with,
I think that definitely had something to do with Romulus specifically, though, because I think it shows even glaringly at the end that they didn't know what to do, where they did the fucking weird human alien hybrid shit where they're like, look, we're still not, the Prometheus thing isn't completely done, guys. We're also throwing that in there. Like, it literally was just like they didn't know where to go with it.
Yeah, they tried to appease everyone, but then they satisfy no one at the same time.
Yeah, the ending really, really kind of fucked that movie up for me a lot.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, The Force Awakens, despite all the member berries, I mean, you know, there's always going to be people that are, that were lukewarm or not even positive to The Force Awakens at all. But I don't know if you guys remember, but back in 2015 when that movie came out, like, people were like, okay, fuck yeah, Star Wars is back. Like,
I was totally fine with it, barring that the next movies were good.
Yeah, I was into the hype as well. But, like, the reason why I look at The Force Awakens so sourly is because of what the trilogy ended up being and what, like, Star Wars has essentially just ended up being as well. Because, like, I could forgive The Force Awakens just being this nostalgia bait, like, oh, we're setting things up, but we're not going to be too risky. We're just going to do New Hope again. Please go see the next one. Like, I would be way more forgiving of that if, like, every other Star Wars movie afterwards was just ambitious and risky and, like, tried to do something unique. But they didn't do that. Instead, they did the complete opposite. They doubled down on that shit. Like, Rogue One is legitimately one of the most boring, insufferable things ever because it's just filled with so many fucking nostalgia bait shit. Like, I swear to God, like, they literally stopped the plot like every 15 minutes so they could shove another fucking reference down your throat. They literally stopped the movie to just be like, oh, remember the characters that Obi-Wan cut off the hand of in A New Hope? Remember R2-D2 and C-3PO? Like, none of this matters. Like, why are you stopping the movie to show me this shit? Yes, I remember R2-D2 and C-3PO. Like, what's your point here?
I was gonna say I really liked Rogue One, but now that I look back at it, I haven't seen it again since I saw it in theaters. So I guess I didn't like it that much.
Is that, did they introduce Ben Quadrinos in that movie?
Who?
What was he? Who's the other one? It's Ben Quadrinos, Gaspar Bingzoid. Nick, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I think they came in the next one. They came in The Force Awakens.
Wait, Nick, are these actually real? You never answered. Are these real Star Wars characters? Or is this just like a giant meme that I'm like looking like an idiot for believing?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, fuck. Because the people have been posting these like TikToks and all this shit. Like my face when people don't know who Ben Quadrinos is from the Star Wars franchise. And then there's like, they're just all these like, I mean, they're kind of believably dumb Star Wars names because George Lucas or whoever the fuck was naming those characters. Like, remember Dexter Jetson? Dexter, what's his name? Dexter Jetson, the diner guy? From the prequels, the fat like,
oh, from
I don't know, from like Phantom George Menace. Lucas just comes up with like the stupidest shit ever sometimes with his kids, with his kids. I didn't. Why did I say kids? With his characters, you know, like I think Watto's kind of a dumb name. I think Jar Jar Binks is kind of a dumb name. Both of which are racist stereotypes. So thanks
Jabba
for that.
The Hutt.
Yeah, I mean some of them are really cool. Like I remember when I was a kid. I remember Kit Fisto just being the coolest fucking bitch ever. I was just like, damn, that guy, I don't normally ask my mom for action figures, but I was like, Mom, I need you to get me an action figure of Kit Fisto and Ki-Adi-Mundi, but he was less cool and more, I just giggled at the fact that his head looked like a penis. I was just like, Mom, get me the penis-shaped Jedi action figure.
Well, that
was the fucking guy in Lord of the Rings, fucking the guy who played by fucking Billy Butcher actor, fucking Amir. I had an action figure of that guy, and I thought he was fucking sick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Who do you guys like more, the Rohanese or the Gondorese?
Gondor, bro.
Or is it the Gondorians?
I mean,
maybe shouldn't make them sound Asian. The Gondorese.
I mean, Gondor looks cool, but their military are such pussies. Like Rohan, like basically carried the entire like war for the ring the entire time.
Yeah, but that's only because were under the leadership of the fucking what's his name, Denethor. He was like a total
the steward of Gondor. Yeah, I guess he is kind of a pussy too.
The tomato eating psychopath.
Yeah, he just chomped on his own tongue and they just didn't fucking say anything. He's just like, yeah, I'm a bad guy.
All right, so Tim, how old are you?
12.
Okay, so when you were a kid, so what movies were like your family nostalgic about growing up, like watching on repeat on TV and shit like that? Like, what was your nostalgia shit?
Probably Back to the Future, because that was my dad's favorite movie too. So I probably saw Back to the Future a ton of times when I was a kid.
So it's like the same shit as us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, It's not that big of an age difference.
I mean, if we're going to talk about like movies that were like relevant and like modern when I was a kid, like, yeah. I don't know, probably the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy. I had that on like all the time when I was a kid. The Incredibles was also all the time when I was a kid. My mom actually, this was back in the day when we still had VHS tapes. My mom had a bunch of VHS tapes for like a lot of Hayao Miyazaki films. So, and some of them I just wear to the fucking bone because some of them I loved so much. Like, I remember I watched Kiki's Delivery Service like probably 100 times when I was a kid. I really, really loved that movie. And I also loved Howl's Moving Castle and My Neighbor Totoro too. I don't think I had the VHS for My Neighbor Totoro because that was like a newish film, but I know I had the DVD for that one.
Kiki's Delivery Service is the only fucking one of those movies I've seen more than once, and I watched it a lot.
Yeah,
do you guys have any unorthodox like holiday films? Like since you brought up the Raimi series, like I've somehow when I was a kid got it into my head since the first Raimi Spider-Man movie, there's a Thanksgiving scene like halfway through. I got it into my head when I was younger that the rest of the movie takes place during Christmas.
On Thanksgiving.
So I was like, yeah, so I was like, this is actually a Christmas movie. So I still to this day watch like the entire trilogy every Christmas, even though it has nothing to do with Christmas. I don't know if you guys can relate to that.
I let Warner Brothers like fucking trick my brain into thinking Harry Potter's out a Christmas series. I still watch that every year, unfortunately.
Well, like the first three Harry Potter movies took place like a good portion of their plots took place on Christmas, so
ABC Family literally played them on repeat every year and pretended like it was a Christmas movie until everybody believed it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the beauty of Harry Potter movies. They're like they're fall movies, they're summer movies. They're like every you can watch them during any time of year because they all take place over the span of 1 year. And there's like a little scene or a chunk of that those films that you can get like that specific seasonal vibe from, which is beautiful.
I guess Harry Potter. If we're going back to picking apart my brain and figuring out what I was a nostalgia baby for, Jesus, Harry Potter was also that for me. Because I remember when I was a kid, I wasn't really the type of person to be like a fan, like do fan, like coom my pants type shit or whatever. But I remember I was super excited for the last Harry Potter movie. I think I was like 12 or something when the last one came out, and I was so excited. I begged my mom to take me to go see it, and it was glorious. I really, really loved it. Nowadays, it's like the fourth or fifth best Harry Potter film, but, you know, whatever.
What do y'all think about them redoing it?
I'm curious, especially because I've heard that Mark Mylod, he was a Game of Thrones director and also was instrumental in making Succession. And there's a couple other writers that I really like that are attached to it that it's definitely piqued my interest. I was actually going to just ask you guys, like, after the Fantastic Beasts franchise just, like, crashed and burned the way it did over the past couple years, like, and also in tandem with that, like J.K. Rowling's whole transphobia thing, like, is Harry Potter redeemable at this point? Like,
yeah, people don't give a fuck. Nobody cares what she says.
Well, it's not just that, though.
Large enough portion of people.
I mean,
that's just fuel to the fire at this point. There's also the fact that the Harry Potter game
just came out and sold fucking gangbusters literally right in the middle of all of the fucking transphobia shit. Nobody gave a single fuck.
But that's different though, because like I feel like everybody who's ever like interfaced with Harry Potter at all has always wanted a Harry Potter video game to be able to be like, oh, I can fucking fly a broom and shoot spells and shit. Like, that's different than I feel like getting everybody, or, you know, as many people as used to be super fans of this franchise, to get back on board with it in like a cinematic adaptation or even a book or whatever the fuck.
I think the moment that first trailer comes out, everybody's going to forget, dude. Nobody's going
to
give a fuck.
I'm just saying there was like a novelty to the Hogwarts Legacy because it was the first video game and real video game in the Harry Potter franchise. You know,
I think
what I mean?
There's people out there that like that
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix on the Wii.
I know, fucking bastard. I know, but those games weren't, they were, you know, people played them at the time,
I think the people that put fucking, like, I support trans rights on their fucking Bumble profile are the same people that put certified Ravenclaw in their fucking Bumble profile. I don't think they give a shit, bro. I think people are such big fans of Harry Potter, they don't care what the creator says.
And you have to keep in mind that, like, you have to keep in mind that, like, even if everyone just boycotted all Harry Potter shit, like, tomorrow, like, J.K. Rowling's already a gazillionaire, you know? Like, we're not harming her financial prospects. She's still going to live an incredibly comfortable and luxurious life for the next fucking decades, you know? So I'm not saying what she's doing is right or that she's a good person. It's like a no to both of those things. But, you know, at the end of the day...
When you have such a huge fan base, like, that's, like, ravenous like this, it would take something really big, and I think it would have to be the content itself, which is, it, you'd think that would be Fantastic Beasts, but, like, honestly, the more egregious thing that J.K. Rowling did was fucking write those fucking terrible fucking Fantastic Beasts sequels.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, all right, but, you know, that aside for a second, just to agree with what you guys are both saying about the boycotts. Like, I'm not saying that people should boycott her. I think the boycotting J.K. Rowling thing is ineffective and also just kind of, like, blinkered in a way, because it's, like, literally everything that any of us fucking buy at any given time during our day is, like, you know, you're giving money to someone terrible somewhere down the line of production, you know? I think to just, like, single out J.K. Rowling, it's, like, why? I don't know.
It's
like you said, she's already going to be rich no matter fucking what. It doesn't matter.
Like, capitalism, I don't want to come across as like a flaming socialist or anything, but capitalism as a system is like, can be pretty fucking corrupt, and it's filled with like bad apples that would rather just game the system and enrich their pockets instead of, like, you know, making and doing actual long lasting and meaningful change. So, you know, you can be conscious of these things. You know, you can be conscious about the fact that, like, your iPhone was probably made by like a sweatshop worker in China, or, you know, your clothes were made by like fucking child slaves or child labor or some shit like that. Like, you can think about these things, and I'm not saying they're right. You can totally 100% like be conscious of these things. And if you want to boycott them, you're free to, but like, it's, they are not in of itself the problems. They are symptoms of a greater problem is I think the best way to go about it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the thing with me is, like, the, you know, the Fantastic Beasts franchise failed, and which is, I mean, if we were going to say that to someone in 2016 who just watched the first one, which was pretty well received, I actually really liked that movie. I thought the first one was good. The second one was fucking horrible, and the third one was, like, sort of a course correction, but not enough in time. And to think that only three of those, like, highly anticipated movies would even get greenlit was, like, that would have been wild for me to even think about at this point. And the fact that they're going back to just, like, adapting the fucking original book series on HBO, like, that's kind of a weird admission of failure at this point, you know?
It's creatively bankrupt. They have no fucking better ideas, because, like you said, these movies
agree.
Fucking
I
bomb.
Think it is creatively bankrupt, but I think Harry Potter fans, like, are going to see the positive in every situation. Like, they're like, oh, but that first Fantastic Beasts was amazing. I think that's what kind of fans they are, as a, like, overall, for the most part.
Yeah. Did you guys like any of the Fantastic Beasts movies?
I like
the second
first
one
a lot.
Was so fucking funny. You said it was, like, really bad. I thought it was, like, it's like barnyard level film bad. I get so much ironic and, like, entertainment out of the second one. And then the third one, I fell asleep while watching. It was so fucking boring.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first one is actually really, really good, though. I think Newt Scamander is a great character. Super interesting character. I love the nomad. What's his name? Jacob. I thought he was fucking great.
Jacob Kowalski. I literally think this entire franchise would be infinitely better if they just made him the main character of this series instead of fucking Jupiter Ascending Man. What did we say his name?
I really liked it. And I think they just needed to get a real screenwriter, and that they would have had so much fucking money on their hands.
Yeah, but J.K. wrote the first one and she did fine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the sec, I think after she wrote the, if I'm not mistaken, she wrote the first two by herself, and then the third one they got a co-writer.
I thought she had a co-writer on the first one.
I'm pretty sure she just wrote the first one by herself, and then they gave her the second one too, and that one failed spectacularly. So they got.
And it also doesn't help that, like, the director who made these Fantastic Beasts movies is, like, the worst director out of everyone who's made a Harry Potter film. Like, out of the main directors of the Harry Potter franchise, he is easily the worst one. I don't know why they picked him out of everyone. Like, they could have brought back any of the other three, and they wouldn't be infinitely better. Like,
probably is majorly easy to work with.
I mean, Alfonso Cuarón was never going to come back to this shit. Like, so he was obviously going to be out of the equation, but I legitimately think they would be more entertaining and more interesting if they got one of the other two.
Probably came in under budget every single fucking time, was super economical. He probably was just a really good studio director. That's the only reason I could think of
it. I mean, I know, like, if you think about it like that, then economically and, like, financially, yeah, he's the best bet, but I don't know. I don't really give a shit about things like that. I just want to see art. I just want to see great storytelling.
I 100% agree with you. I think his entire directing style is incredibly boring, but
I like how the color grading of every movie past 5 coincides with
the gray.
Well, no, it coincides with the book covers, if you notice that. Like, the Order of the Phoenix is very blue,
but all the colors are super muted though, like, ever since he started taking
everything
over.
Looked,
like,
disgusting to look at. It's like watching some shitty Christopher Nolan movie or something.
I mean, I don't know. I like Order of the Phoenix, I think, has a lot of cool production design, like the Ministry of Magic. That's kind of the first time you see it, I'm pretty sure, in the entire franchise, and it looks great.
I think the set design never really suffers too much in the Harry Potter universe, like, in films. But I do think that, like, the color grading was kind of, like, rough. And I think that the shots are just kind of boring in a lot of it.
Yeah. I think these movies are just so, like, generic and factory produced and, like, studio cookie cuttered films. Like, say what you want about the Chris Columbus movies, which, I mean, I'm not ashamed to say this. I think the Chris Columbus Harry Potter movies are, like, some of the better Harry Potter films. They're way better than, like, the 4 David Yates films. Like, they're at least, like,
they're long for sure.
I'm not saying they're perfect, but they understood the assignment way better than David Yates' movies did. They, like, understand the tone and, like, the whimsical atmosphere and nature of those films way better, and you can see it in those films. You know, like, Chamber of Secrets is one of the stupidest movies ever, but I'm willing to look past it. I'm willing to look past the stupid plot because everything else is so fun, you know?
Or not the David Yates, the Chris Columbus movies, they have, like, a very, like, childlike wonder to them. Like whenever I was a kid and I was, like, imagining Harry Potter, because I read all the books, like, as they came out, like, that was, like, the closest to, like, what I, like, envisioned it. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of crazy how he, like, made that world.
I think a big issue that a lot of the directors post Azkaban and Cuarón, I think they had to contend with what he did, you know, like Newell, who did the fourth one, I think. And then Yates, obviously, who did everyone after 5. They all tried to kind of Cuarón their movies, their adaptations, when they just couldn't. Yeah. They couldn't reach his sauce levels, you know.
I definitely think the films had to get darker too. Like, I think they needed a different director than Chris Columbus for the later ones.
Oh yeah, of course.
But yeah, it's definitely hard to compete because he did such a good job in fucking that third movie.
Yeah, like, it. I mean, that's what happens when you hire an auteur to work on a franchise film, because every other director you hire afterwards are just like, fuck, man, how am I supposed to?
Well, it's also crazy because, like, a lot of the time when they bring on these, like super artsy people to, like, do these, like, studio films, like, usually there's, like, a level of, like, incoherence to certain elements of it, or, like, the story structure is, like, not super easy to follow, you know what I mean?
Not really.
Eternals? You're talking about Eternals?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, like, a lot of the time, just things are just kind of, like, it's hard to follow and hard to track a lot of the time because they're trying to do these things within the studio film. I don't know. I'll try and find some more examples and bring it up next time. But I'm just saying, like, he did such a good job of, like, keeping the story coherent and it just, like, flowing so fucking well. Like, it felt like a studio picture while also being very artistic. And it was just really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Taika did a good job with Thor Ragnarok. That's definitely not one of my favorite Marvel movies, but it's, like, you know, general consensus is that movie is really great. I think most people really like that movie. So
I think it's, like, I loved it when it came out, and I think of, like, losing love for it just because it's so fucking, like, I feel like that style of humor is just falling out for me, like, where it's just, like, so random and goofy and stupid.
I fucking hate that in that movie, the moment when that, like, they're watching Asgard get destroyed and then the rock guy that Taika Waititi voices. He's like, oh no, we could rebuild here, whatever. And Thor's just like watching, crying. And then like the entire planet explodes. And he's like, oh yeah, never mind, we can't do that. And it's just like, why do you have to do that? Like Thor's entire planet is blowing up and you have to fucking say like a joke. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's
like,
just,
he's like afraid of sincerity.
Yeah, I think he was also just afraid to be connected to source material that he obviously thinks is ridiculous. So it's like, why take the job then if there's no merit to this source material? Yeah, but it's like, if there's no fucking merit to this source material for you, like, why not let someone else do it who actually respects it at least a little bit? He's literally said
it's for money. Like, he already burned that bridge.
Yeah, and then he just fucking, I mean, Thor Love and Thunder was a fucking mess, dude. I don't know if you guys saw that. That was like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
That movie fucking licked my fucking ballsack. Yeah, I agree.
Maybe
and
it's
it sucks
because like
is...
I, maybe it's because I was so out of touch and so done with Marvel at that point. When I saw Love and Thunder, and I remember everyone was telling me I would hate it because like the humor is like giga cringe or whatever. And when I saw it, I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of bad, but like, I don't see how this is any different from like any other shitty Marvel movie with its shitty humor. Like, it felt like almost the same to me. So I guess I wasn't really understanding.
No,
I wasn't really understanding.
Everything's turned up to 11.
I guess I can agree
with both sides. I think it's really fucking stupid and not really funny. But I think a lot of the Marvel movies that were coming around at the same time were also kind of boring too. So it's like, at least it's something's happening.
Yeah.
they did Eternals, which was like the most boring fucking like wannabe artsy fartsy Marvel movie, and then they did that one.
At least
one
I get
right
to see
after,
Chris Hemsworth fucking almost naked. So
I didn't see Eternals. I was like mildly curious, but then like when Chloe Zhao was like, "Oh yeah, Man of Steel inspired this," I was like, "Nope, that's it. Not gonna. I'm sorry." So, and I didn't even think what was the film that she released called? What was it called with Frances McDormand?
Nomadland.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, Nomadland, I didn't even think was like amazing. I thought it was fine. So I had no idea why it was getting all these nominations. So, but whatever. I guess if you win Best Picture, then fucking whatever can happen. Or did it win Best Picture? I have no idea.
I think it did. I'm pretty sure it did. Yeah, that's why everyone was like so excited when she was going to direct a Marvel movie. And it was just a fucking mess. But
I was so mad because in interviews she said, oh yeah, this movie will be heavily influenced by manga because I grew up reading manga and I'm going to make a manga influenced superhero movie. And then I listened to all the fucking reviews and they say it's the most boring shit ever. I was like, where in this did you inject manga into your influences? Where the fuck is it? That's why I was sort of interested, because you said that shit. Where the fuck is it?
Wait, into Eternals, you said?
Yeah, in Eternals, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know. I've never opened up a manga, so I'm not sure. Are you a manga guy, Nick?
No, I've never read one in my life.
What's a good manga I should read as a manga naive man as myself?
My brother would tell you Berserk.
Berserk should not be your first manga. You should read something else before you read Berserk. I would say, I don't know. I guess One Piece is not a bad manga to read. It's very long, but if you like action scenes, if you like fun characters growing and developing into good fighters, I don't know. One Piece is not
a
bad start.
Backwards.
I wouldn't think. I don't even think if that should be a good first start. I don't really know where to what I can recommend manga wise, because I'm an anime watcher first before I'm a manga reader. I very rarely read manga of stuff that I've already seen the anime of, unless it's like something like Giga Ass. Because I remember I watched Dead Man Wonderland, the anime, the second season especially, and I was like, well, this sucks. But then I read a bit of the manga and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of good. So
I thought that show got canceled after one.
No, there was a season two.
Was that the one?
Oh,
with
wait,
the blood?
No, sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. What I meant to say was that the last like couple episodes of Dead Man Wonderland were fucking ass, but the manga was actually really good. So yeah,
I actually liked that show. I that was one of the anime I watched. That's the one where they like fight with blood, right, in the arena or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you mean they fight with blood?
Like, they have, like, blood powers, and they, like, kill each other in, like, an arena, like a Colosseum type shit.
So they can turn blood into, like, a solid object, and then just, like,
I don't remember. I just remember thinking it was sick. They, like, it's like, very much gladiator-style type shit.
Oh, okay.
Another, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Another mid-boomer dad movie.
Just the one? I thought it was cool.
What do you think? What's the ultimate boomer dad movie, do you think?
The Godfather?
I feel like...
I don't know.
Actually,
it can't be actually genuinely super good if it's a boomer dad
movie. It's anything with a boat. Like, if there's a boat in the movie, like Captain Phillips or something.
Like Starsky and Hutch. Or not Starsky and Hutch. What's the fucking one with Burt Reynolds?
I don't know. Field of
Dreams?
Eastbound
and down, loading up and trucking. I'm talking about
Field of Dreams, I think,
Smokey
is like
the
a
Bandit.
Classic dad movie. Oh, okay, yeah.
Smokey and the Bandit's a fucking boomer-ass dad movie.
You guys know what I mean with boats, though? Like, I feel like Captain Phillips, like, The Perfect Storm, you know, shit like that. Like, I feel like...
Gator?
I guess, yeah.
Dads love that kind of stuff.
I don't really
fucking
think,
saying Burt Reynolds movies.
I mean, when I watch Titanic, I don't really think dad movie, if I'm being honest.
Definitely not a dad movie.
I think,
yeah, but
like,
that's like a romance movie.
I think most Clint Eastwood directed movies are like the epitome of dad movies, because I remember the few of them that I've watched are range between either really, really boring or really, really cringe. Like, I think Gran Torino is like one of the most laughably pathetic things I've ever seen. I remember I was cringing so
Why?
Hard, like every like 10 to 15 minutes watching a Gran Torino.
It's definitely a bit heavy-handed, but that movie's good.
No.
It really, it's just like, it's like a boomer racist power fantasy movie.
Yeah, it's a movie where the white guy goes, "Am I racist?"
Nah.
And then that's it. That's the great. Congratulations, Clint. You realize that, "Oh, I am
Maybe
racist.
I need to watch
Let
it
me
again.
Dial down my racism by like 10%." Congratulations, Clint. You really fucking hammered home a great lesson there. So, I remember The Mule was also one of the most like giga cringe, like funny bad
it.
Experiences ever. It was
I don't
so want to
see any movies with him that old, dude. I don't want to see a person 90 something acting. It's just, it makes me uncomfortable.
He doesn't really act in his movies that much anymore. Like Richard Jewell, I think, is one of his more recent ones. He wasn't in that at all. Which
yeah,
if we ever do a Clint Eastwood episode, I would recommend we watch that. That's a great movie.
Scott Eastwood's like filming a movie right down the road from me right now.
Nice.
Who's Scott
Actually,
Eastwood?
Accidentally
is that his son?
His son. Yeah, I accidentally drove onto the set the other day, and I was just like, oh, let me get out of here.
You're like, fucking Nepo, baby.
Apparently,
he's okay.
Apparently, Clint Eastwood's latest movie is just being fucking buried by Warner Brothers or something.
I heard it's really
like,
good.
That's, from what I understand, it's like pretty decent, but like, I don't know where the fuck I can watch the movie even if I wanted to see it, you know, because it's not premiering anywhere near me.
Is it buried because he finally got Obama to talk to him? And you guys know what I'm talking about?
He finally talked to the real Obama, not a fucking empty chair.
Do you know that story, Nick?
No.
I think it was at like one of the Republican National Conventions in like the year that Obama was first running, where he got a prop chair next to him at the RNC and had a conversation with Obama about like taxes and personal freedom or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a real case of Grandpa Clint, are you doing okay? Do you have dementia? Do we need to take you down to the hospital like real
Speaking
fast?
Of dementia, did y'all see the fucking like exit speech from Biden?
I can't even watch any of it. I can't watch it.
He
wasn't aware of
this. He was the most coherent I've seen him in like the entire time of his running. It literally seemed like he was faking it the entire time, bro. He literally was speaking full ass sentences, making total sense. I was so fucking confused.
It's because it's the power of spite. He's probably in his head. Biden is just thinking, "I told you, motherfuckers, that I would have won." He literally, like, I honestly think that Biden thinks that he would have done better than Kamala. Like, he probably thinks he could have beat Trump, even though he was like fucking. I was checking the polls, like in my home state of New Jersey, which has gone blue since fucking Ronald Reagan. Like, he was down by 5 fucking points. Post that horrible debate performance. The fact that he thinks he probably still thinks he was going to beat Trump now that Kamala lost.
Maybe.
He feels vindicated. So he's like, he's on top of the world right now. because he hates Kamala. As far as I've heard some like behind the scenes info from a secret source I have that I can't reveal to you guys, but I've heard that Biden is like extremely mad.
Yeah, you know, it's real legit.
I can't mention names, but I am being serious. I know somebody who works in like Democratic Party politics, and they said that Biden is extremely fucking mad at Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Kamala. And he like wasn't really speaking with them unless he had to for the past couple months.
He's sitting in his fucking Oval Office eating ice cream.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
How are you feeling post-election, Tim?
I mean, I'd rather not talk about this if I'm being honest. Let's just say it went, I am both disappointed, but I'm also not surprised. So.
I saw this shit coming for fucking so long. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Nick was right. Yeah, so. I don't really want to talk about politics. We can avoid the politics talk.
Yeah. So
I just watched that shit earlier and it fucked me up.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that right now. I'm looking through. Okay, just to go back to movies for 1 second, something I actually care about. I'm looking through Clint Eastwood's filmography, and I'm honest to God,
What's his new one called? Because I literally saw something like giving it the. I saw something giving it like the most sucking off fucking review I've ever seen in my life.
I know a lot of the people I follow on Letterboxd was really talking about how amazing it fucking is or something like that. I don't know. I was never going to see this anyway because, again, I think Clint Eastwood makes bad movies. I don't think he makes anything interesting to me. There are a handful of his films that like are on my watch list, but that's just purely because all I've ever heard is like, oh, these are actually the good ones. Unforgiven is on my watch list. I heard that was good. Letters from Iwo Jima is on my watch list. That's good. I heard that's good. I think I tried watching Mystic River and I think I fell asleep like a good like chunk into
Mystic
the movie
River
because I thought
fucking
it was so
sucks, bro. I had somebody fucking shilling that movie so hard to me for like 6 months and I finally sat down to watch it. That movie fucking licked ass, bro.
I liked it. I didn't think it sucked.
Really?
I thought it was boring, but
it was definitely interesting, I thought. It kept my interest.
His best days are upon him. I'm excited
really
to see. Are we all going to see Gladiator and talk about it?
Yeah, that'd be a good episode.
I feel obligated to.
I'm excited to go see a movie by a fucking somebody 8,000 years old, fucking making an epic, you know? See how he does.
So,
all right, well.
Well, as speaking of old age, I'm tired, and this old man has to go out to the backyard and shoot myself in the head.
All right. Well, with that, real quick, I saw Heretic last night after a recommendation from Chris Stuckman, and I was not pleased with it. I feel like Chris Stuckman led his past of being a Jehovah's Witness. I think he's a little bit too attached to that, and he was sucking off the movie a little bit too hard than was deserved. But that's my take.
I also want to say, Chris Stuckman, read your fucking YouTube comments because your fucking 3-minute ad segments for BetterHelp are getting called out by literally everybody. And that company is a fucking scam. So stop fucking advertising BetterHelp, you fucking money-hungry piece
of shit.
Isn't
BetterHelp like a noted, not mental health resource that doesn't actually help you with mental... I don't actually know like the full story behind this.
He does a 2-minute ad read before every fucking video, and half of his comments are people calling him out for it. He just has been ignoring it for months. So, Chris
Stuckman,
come on, man.
Like, to be fair, aren't like half of these like ad reads that like most big content creators do like just fucking scams anyway? Like, does anyone actually download like Raid Shadow Legends after your favorite YouTuber like won't shut the fuck up about
at least put it at the end of the fucking video, dude? Put it at the end of your fucking video or something, dude.
It must be working. I mean, all these companies still pay for this, you know, so it must give them some kind of boost in downloads or subs or whatever.
I guess, but he can get other sponsorships. Come on, bro.
I honestly,
especially whenever your comments are literally calling you out for it.
I honestly hope, and I hope they're not listening to this episode if they're interested in hiring me at some point. If Raid Shadow Legends asks me to read their ad, I am going to read that ad in a video where I just shit on Raid Shadow Legends, where I just make like a fucking video where I just talk about how much of a scam Raid Shadow Legends is or something like that. I just want to do that just because it would be amusing to me. I'd probably burn like several bridges, but whatever, I'd do it for the memes.
Fuck yeah.
I'll do an ad read for Raid Shadow Legends. BetterHelp, you can fucking eat the Fromunda from my ass.
This episode was sponsored by Fromunda Cheese.
Oh, actually, I have an ad read for us. Hold on. I'm sorry, the company just reached out to me the other night. I forgot. They sent me what to say. Hold on.
This is exciting. This is our very first sponsorship deal.
Yeah, this episode was sponsored by...
Hold on, I forgot where I saved.
This episode was sponsored by...
All right, here we go. So, sorry. I proudly want to introduce our first sponsor, Ballsack VPN. It's the first VPN to protect versus malware using just the power of the human testicle. With long-lasting 2-bit encryption previously locked to level 3 NSA clearances, you can now download mass quantities of ladyboy porn right under your wife and Uncle Sam's nose. For only $14.96, you can unlock the power of Ballsack along with their companion app, Breeze Nuts, which is an all-in-one ovulation tracking app, so you can avoid accidentally impregnating your wife, causing all of the money you haven't already wasted online gambling on diapers.
Amazing. Great
download
job.
Download Ballsack VPN with a reference code. What's our reference code? We haven't set one yet, but we'll set one.
42069.
Sack safety.
Yeah. Yeah, sack safety.
All right, have a good one. Have a good one, everybody.
All right, keep your goodbye. Ball safe. Happy Ballsack Day.